Educated Podcast, where we talk everything education with an educator himself. Enjoy the show.
Two, one. All right, and welcome back to the Educators Podcast. I'm your host, Alejandro Gutierrez. I appreciate you clicking on the link. You're checking us out on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, on the Apple Podcast app, Spotify, everywhere you listen to your podcast. We are almost at our 50th episode, so I appreciate everyone clicking and supporting. And we're going to get started today. I have a special guest. As usual, I always have special guests, but I'm bringing it back, throwing it a little bit back here to an individual that I've known for a long time, since he was a young teenager. And so I reached out to him, wanted to talk to him about what he's doing now, share his experiences. I'm going to let him introduce himself first. So go ahead, tell them, what's your name, man? Who are you?
Hey, what's going on, brother? Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jose Ayon. I'm currently in the United States Army Reserves as a first lieutenant, currently a company commander for the 319 Signal Battalion here out of here in Sacramento. So I do that on the reserve side, as you know. On the civilian side, I work for the California Department of Veteran Affairs as a program analyst. So I've been doing that as well for going on my third year, going on my fourth year in the Army. So a little bit of that. And of course, born and raised here in Sacramento from Grand High School as well. So that's how we got to know each other. So definitely excited and, you know, honored to be here, man.
Yeah, no, I appreciate your time. I appreciate you giving me this time. It was hard to... And you have, you know, my life is the same way. So it's hard to get people to get on Zoom, even though it was a little easier when the pandemic was going on. When I started the podcast, it was a lot of us sitting around. So it was easy to get people on at 11 a.m., yeah. 8, whatever. And now that people are kind of back to quote unquote normal, it's been hard to get people in. So I'm glad that you gave me this time. So appreciate you.
No, man, I appreciate it, man. I'm a big fan of what you're doing, especially all the ones that I've caught. It's pretty interesting conversation, you know, from soccer to politics to education. So I thought that was pretty cool. What you're doing right now is pretty cool, man.
I appreciate it. Hope you're not just saying that because I was your coach, but I do appreciate it. So, you know, a little backstory. I know Jose from Grand High School. He said he used to coach there, and, you know, just an individual that caught my eye from the beginning, someone that showed a lot of leadership skills. And obviously he's still a leader today. And so I kind of want to go straight into that, man. What, you know, did anyone ever tell you that they saw that in you being a leader? Is that something you've heard before?
Yeah, man. I think I've just growing up, I always liked being in those positions of just, trying to steer people into the right direction. Obviously being a middle child, you have two people that, you know, I was kind of looking up to, and then two little ones that I had to direct as well. So I think it happened first at the household was first. And then just being around sports my whole life, obviously in soccer, you know, growing up playing soccer, basketball, a little bit of track and field once I got in high school. And then, of course, JROTC once I got in there in that program in high school, it kind of just all came together. And definitely just wanted to be in those positions, not just in soccer, but in the Army and, you know, in the community. So definitely just wanted to put myself out there and just learn and grow. And, of course, if there's an opportunity to lead people in the right direction or be a mentor, be someone that it can be of somewhat of good influence, definitely always wanted to be in those positions.
That's good, man. No, and I was going to ask you that because I didn't know you. So you have two siblings that are older than you? I thought you only had your brother, so I didn't know you had another one.
Yeah, I got two older brothers. Two younger sisters, right?
Okay. Yeah, so you're in the middle trying to fight for some ground in the middle, you know, the middle child thing.
Yeah, man, it was rough, but I mean, it was always pretty cool because I was pretty close to both of them. So obviously my older brothers and then my little sisters as well, we all like the same things, sports being right in the middle. So that always kept us, you know, united to some extent. Okay. So, yeah, it was good, man. It was good.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Okay. I'm the oldest sibling. So yeah, as far as like leader, it's like I had no choice as far as like you gotta do this, or, you know, your little brothers are watching you, your little sister's watching you. So yeah, like, it was like your parents would always tell me like, hey, they're watching you. So it's like a thing where like, okay, you know, and I guess in the middle, you could be, you can go either way, right? If you're in the middle, but you obviously were somebody that was, I would say, very mature for your age, understanding responsibilities that, you know, you had as even as a high schooler. With some students might take it as a fun time. I think right. You definitely had fun, but you also understood there was things you needed to get done.
No, so. Absolutely.
So that obviously led you on your way to, you know, Berkeley, right? So when you were playing soccer in high school and different things, you were in ROTC, like the JROTC and all different things, you know, yeah. I saw these leadership qualities in you. I know you were part of like these leadership conferences, right? In high school as well.
Yeah, definitely.
So you obviously were ready for that. So, you know, what kind of, tell me, how did you come about, first of all, going to Berkeley, you know, UC Berkeley, how did that come about? And, you know, what came into that decision? Because you probably had other options as well. How did you
choose? Absolutely. No, I mean, like, I think you know it, first generation, first in my family, few in my community to, you know, to go to college. So it all started just wanting to get good grades in school, right? Obviously, it wasn't too difficult for me, you know, at Grant. I think it was pretty doable for what's, you know, in that system of education at Grant. So I never really struggled. And then obviously my older brother, the one that I think he played a year at Grant, mm-hmm. for the team there as well. So I think you might have met him.
Yeah,
he went to community college, and that kind of just put us in the direction that we really wanted to go to school. My older one, the older brother that you didn't meet, he's incarcerated. So he was in jail from a very young age. So it was my older brother. He went to community college. He kind of laid the foundation for all of us that, hey, you know, it's attainable, it's doable. So that kind of just made me want to stop hanging out with the wrong crowd at Grant. Obviously, I wasn't a bad kid, but, you know, you just grew up with those kids, right? So you just kind of hang out, do what you got to do. And that just led me to ROTC, taking soccer a little bit more serious, taking just all these different student body organizations on campus a little bit more serious. So then I just said, you know what, I'm going to put all my eggs in this basket of education and see where it takes me. So around junior year, that's where I really thought that I can go to a big, you know, big name school. So obviously it was Berkeley, one of the main options, UC San Diego as well, St. Mary's, UC Davis. So I knew that the UC system was obviously the prestige sort of system in California. So I put my mind to one of those big universities. At the time I thought I was going to, you know, pursue soccer in college. Obviously I wanted to do the same formula that worked for me in high school, right? So I wanted to play soccer. I wanted to do ROTC.
Right.
So I wanted to do that in San Diego. I don't know why I wanted to do that in San Diego. I just thought the city was nice and right. Just heard great things about San Diego. But it's funny, man. I missed my senior prom to go to Berkeley for like an outreach event. It's you ultimately just go out there for like a weekend and they show you, you know, the faculty, they show you the different departments, and, you know, they kind of just give you a tour for those 2-3 days. And that kind of pretty much sold it, man. I definitely liked the environment, the hospitality that I received there from like the students that were there, a lot of raza, well, a small raza community, but the raza that was there at the time really, you know, very similar to what I saw here in the Del Paso Heights community. So I was, you know, I was sold in that aspect. And sure enough, I went there August of 2012, did the 4.5 years at Berkeley. And definitely, man, I didn't picture myself going to college. I was one of those kids that, you know, I will raise my hand. Oh, yeah, I'm going to college. But I had no clue what college was. I didn't know no one that went to college from my household, from my family, you know, from my community. Yeah, you know, in the Dos Rios housing projects, I didn't know no one that went to college. So I just kind of just ran with it, you know, had to take the hits for my family members, for my siblings, and, you know, other folks in the area. But it was good, man. It was definitely, you know, a maturity check, a gut check, a cultural shock, you know, being in Berkeley, very different to what it is here in Sacramento and the parts that we know.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. So it was good, man. It was definitely, you know, as, you know, towards the end of high school, definitely I heard it more that, hey, you're going to go to college, you're going to get scholarships, you're going to do all this great stuff. So I kind of just ran with it, man. And sure enough, man, you know, gracias a Dios, like I always like to say, I went out there and I was able to graduate and do all that fun stuff.
That's good, man. No, you did it. You did it, man. What do you think? I mean, obviously, you know, like you said, your brother probably opened that door for you because he was already starting in college. And then you said, you know, you're probably going to follow his footsteps at school. There was people probably pushing you to do it. But what about at home? What about with your parents? I mean, at home with your brother, but what about with your parents? What was the conversation there with college? Were they supportive of it? Were they ever talking to you about it? The only reason I ask you is because when I was, you know, I've shared this before, but, you know, to me, I thought everyone went to college, right? Because in my mind, I always heard, like, you know, it wasn't if you were going to go, it was what school you were going to go to. That was my conversation with the people that I hung out with my home, with the people in my family. And so it was a shock to me when I was going to graduate and people were telling you, oh, I'm taking a year off or I'm going to go do this. And I'm like, what? I thought we all go to college. Yeah, and so to me, it was really a shock at the end. Like, wait, everyone doesn't go to college. So what was that conversation at home like growing up? Was that something your parents kind of instilled in you? Or was that something they kind of just said, if you do it, we got your back. If you don't do it, you know, what is it? What was it about? Can you tell me?
Definitely. I think, again, just having that exposure for my brother, I think he went did 2 or 3 years in community college. So I think around my junior, senior year in high school, I think that's when he stopped going and just started working and, you know, raising the family and whatnot. But I think it got more serious, again, just when I was showing, you know, those progress reports, you know, folks, you know, yourself, other folks on the Grand High School faculty will, like, reach out to my parents and let them know, hey, your son's doing really good in school. He has this opportunity to go to college, X, Y, and Z. And I always made it very clear to my dad, especially, you know, obviously coming from a low-income family, that, you know, I'm going to get scholarships. I want to do ROTC. So they're going to help me pay for college. And I just wanted to make that clear that, hey, it's not going to be on you. It's going to be, you know, based on my academics and based on, you know, merit and based on just my physical abilities in ROTC that I'm going to go to college for ultimately for free. So I think that distinction of letting them know that I'm going to, you know, not go the same route as my brother at the community college route, but I'm going into this, you know, quote unquote prestigious university, that, you know, it's going to be a little bit different. I'm leaving, you know, I'm leaving home, but, you know, everything's going to be all right because it's going to be paid for. I'm going to have somewhere to stay. It's only an hour and a half, you know, drive. So, you know, I can come over here or you guys can go over there. So, yeah, I think it's definitely started picking momentum. But I, again, just making it clear that, you know, it wasn't going to be a burden on my family. It was going to be, you know, a better thing for me to do this and, you know, at least attempt it to the best of my ability.
And I think that's definitely something that, and like you said, putting a burden on your family. I think a lot of families, especially like Mexicanos and first generation that come here, they might think, okay, we can't pay for that. You know, so that's, or not even just that we can't pay for it, but it's like, no, man, you turn 18, a trabajar, you know, like help out. And it's like, it's kind of sad because, you know, I used to get upset. I used to get really upset and be like, oh, these parents say they want to give their kid a better life. And when they get here, they don't let them do it. You know, like they say better life, but really they just want more money. And that's what I would say. You know, I was young and I would say that, but you know, I don't mean it still. I wouldn't mean like that. There's people that have that situation where they have to help their family, but
absolutely.
You know, I'm glad that you're, you know, like you say, you made that clear to your dad. Hey, look, I know this is going to cost a lot of money, but don't worry. I'm going to figure out a way to do it without having to, you know, make us, you know, suffer a little bit here at home. So that's good. That's good. You took that. That's all I said. That's why I said that you were, very mature at a young age because you were able to see that, like, okay, that's going to be an issue, you know, because obviously you can go local, you can do the community college route, you could do the Sac State route, but going away for school, it costs a lot of money, right? You got living, you got rent, you got food, you got all these things. And so, you know, you were able to, like, I think that's probably why you picked Berkeley too, because San Diego is a lot farther. Like you said, your mom and dad could come an hour and a half, or you could definitely come home for the weekend, right? So that's something that you probably came into your mind while you were making that decision for sure.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And again, I think I have a lot of, you know, to be thankful as far as, you know, my guidance counselor at Grant definitely made that distinction. Hey, you know, if you come here, they're going to pay for, you know, everything. It's really close, you know, closer to home. And, you know, you have to take that into consideration. So, yeah, I think it played out really well. And I'm extremely thankful for that opportunity.
That's good, man. So when you were I've interviewed before other guests that went to Berkeley as well. And they said it was very competitive. You know, so how was that? Because I know when you went to high school, there were students that were grinding like you, that were putting the work in. But when you get to UC Berkeley, everyone was that kid like you. So how does that work? How was that feel like, you know, around different people like that?
No, you definitely saw the distinction as far as, you know, you'll have those conversations with students that went to private schools or their school were just, you know, in a different area of town, and they just, you know, they had the extra money to take these extra courses. They probably had, you know, additional tutors. They had the best laptops, the best, you know, phones, and, you know, ghetto kid from, exactly. A ghetto kid from Sacramento, we didn't have that, you know, so you just had to grind a little harder. You know, I worked two jobs when I was at Berkeley. I had to study had to do ROTC. So it was a little, I felt like my play was a little heavier because I had to do the additional things to make it happen. But you definitely saw the distinction. The competitiveness was really there. But I think I was very fortunate enough to find a space that, you know, it was okay to be competitive, but, you know, everyone still had each other's backs, you know, as far as if you needed a place to stay, if you needed, you know, a cooked meal, little things like that, that go a long way. So it was that family away from home. But of course, definitely in the classrooms, some students made it clear that, hey, I'm doing my own thing. I'm not here to help. I'm not going to share my notes, X, Y, and Z. But again, I was very fortunate to not really see that, you know, firsthand. People were always, yeah, man, I got your back. I'll send you my notes. Oh, let's, you know, let's form a study group and whatnot. But no, definitely, I feel like in my particular major, which was political science, it wasn't as hectic. But in the other CAP majors, as far as economics, business, and those very competitive STEM majors, you heard it a whole lot more, as you know, as that competitiveness was a big thing in Berkeley. But nah, we were good, man. We made it happen.
So why politicize, man? Why did you want to do that?
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, growing up here in Sacramento, we always saw the Capitol. I didn't know what it was, but you know, I saw folks go in there, you know, in their suits, and you know, I guess people made, you know, rules and regulations and, you know, all this different type of policies and different things of that nature that, you know, that can be obviously seen in government and whatnot. So I always saw myself, or I wanted to do something to that extent where I can obviously make change and, you know, do things for the betterment of my community. I was, you know, always want to question, you know, why is it like this in my community? Why is it like that in certain, you know, demographics? For people of color, why do we need to struggle a little extra, you know, more and whatnot? So I think, again, just full circle, just being from Sacramento, having that capital, that government mindset, you know, mm-hmm. once you see, you know, the Midtown area, as far as what, you know, what Sacramento is all about, I definitely just wanted to do something around poli sci to be a part of, you know, the decision-making process for the betterment of, you know, our community. So I definitely, saw poli sci as something that can help me out with that. And so far, I think that it did. But I think, yeah, just being around that government, you know, spaces in Sacramento.
Yeah, right. Yeah, definitely. If you're here, you're definitely going to run in with people that work for the state or for the county, everything, right? It almost seems like everybody has something to do with that, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, talk about politics. Like, is that something you see yourself going into? I know you're interested in the decision-making. You're interested mm-hmm. in policy, like you said, like all these things, and you start yeah. seeing, even though you're very young still, you start yeah. seeing like, man, a lot of these things are crazy how they, you know, yeah. things are decided. Is that something you want to go into? Is that something you're looking for? Are we looking for a young, you know, mayor 2030 or something?
No, man. I mean, right now I'm getting, you know, that exposure through state government, being like a state employee. You know, obviously it's not that big changes that we make. Obviously, the sector that I work in is more orientated to the veteran community in California, but I think that exposure is, you know, obviously opening the doors to a lot of things as far as networking, you know, across the state of California. Obviously here in Sacramento, you know, you're just meeting different people, working with different people, different agencies and whatnot. So I think just keeping that momentum going, obviously progressing through the ranks there at the department, if possible, and of course in the Army as well, and just trying to see, you know, where we end up at. But of course, you know, if that's an opportunity, you know, 10, 15 years from now, I definitely just want to see myself grow as a professional in those two sectors first. And then of course, man, that'd be pretty cool to do something of that regards as, you know, something around an elected official would be pretty cool to do.
There you go. You got my vote. So you got one already. We'll start with my vote. I could help you. I'll be your correspondent or whatever. So, you know, and you know, just thinking about that, because you're in the military, I know you have this huge, you know, connection, obviously, with your parents' homeland, you know, Mexico. Yeah. So how does that work, man? You know, I'm somebody that's totally outside. I have no idea about the military at all. I have no experience, no family members ever been part of it here in the United States. So, like, how does that work? You obviously, you know, you are very proud of what you're doing. But how do you keep that going? And are you able to express yourself as, you know, Mexicano? How does that work, man?
Absolutely. I think just like my roots, like you said, like my background, where I come from, my community, that keeps me, you know, it keeps my 2 feet on the ground. So I'm never, you know, thinking that I'm better than anyone or just, you know, in that regards. So I think that just humbling myself because I know where my, you know, where my parents come from, you know, everything that we have struggled, you know, to be what we're at today keeps me grounded. So I think that's first and foremost, that's something that needs to be, you know, implemented in people, you know, across the board, just staying grounded, staying humble, you know, recognizing that we're not better than anyone else. As far as the military, man, definitely, you know, I was in uniform when I was in high school. So that kind of like, quote unquote, patriotism, just being proud of being in uniform and, you know, to that extent is big. And obviously did it in college. Now I'm doing it in the real army, you know, so to speak. But yeah, of course, you know, just being, you know, understanding that, you know, we have the opportunity to get back to a country that's given back, you know, a lot to my family in one way or the other. I think that's just how I approach the situation. And of course, at the end of the day, we can think bigger picture of you're saving the country or whatnot. But in reality, I'm just, you know, trying to make my soldiers, you know, better people, better soldiers, and just myself as well. So taking care of them, that's my job. And then everything else that comes into, you know, into play, you know, will take care of its own. So I think that's how I kind of see it. And of course, you know, I'm really, you know, tied to my culture, to my family. So I just, you know, trying to balance both has never been an issue for me because I, you know, you got to be adaptive to both, you know, situations. And I think doing it for a long period of time makes you that much more adaptive and resilient to be good at both.
Right. No, it's because, you know, you see all these things that, you know, come up with, you know, because the way politics are painted or whatever it may be on the media. And it was a rough year for everybody being at home and seeing the craziness that was happening, that's still happening. And so you kind of see, like, you know, you got certain people that whatever, you know, you see the U.S. as this, and then other people see U.S. as this. But I think you said it right. I think paying back, you know, just because your family was able to be here and start something new, right? Where, you know, if maybe you'd feel the same way if you went to Canada, right? And that you'd be able to give back to Canada because you're there. So I think maybe if you take it that way, you know, no one can get mad at that, right? And everyone has their way of doing it. It doesn't matter. It's okay how everyone does it. So, you know, speaking of like the homeland, right? So your parents, can you kind of tell us a little bit? I always like to hear the story. You know, I always like to hear stories of where their family's from. Can you kind of tell me a little bit about your parents, where they grew up and how they came here and when they came here? As far as like,
sure. So my parents, of course. Yeah. So my parents, they're both from Sinaloa. So they're from Cosalá, Sinaloa, which is maybe 2-3 hours north of Culiacán, if my compass is correct.
Okay.
In La Sierra. So they're from that area of Sinaloa. I believe my dad came around 86, 89. So obviously he came first, you know, work, got, you know, situated to some extent. With my uncles, they, you know, they did agriculture throughout California. They actually did it in Idaho as well. So they had that sort of mentality that, you know, we're coming here to work and being about that life. So I believe in the 90s, early 90s, that's when my whole family made the transition. And of course, in 94, I was born. So I was the first in my family to be born in the country as well.
Okay, you're the first. Okay.
Yeah, so both of my older brothers are from Mexico, from Sinaloa, and of course my family, my entire family as well. So I was the first one to be born out here as well. So I think just being that first generation, literally the first one in my family to be born out here as well, has kept me that much more connected to my culture, to my raices. Obviously in Spanish, in my home, that's all we speak is Spanish. So I wasn't fluent in English until I got to school. So I had I was that English language learner and taking those classes because obviously I was Mexican, I was born here, but I picked up English, you know, literally at school, as opposed to maybe a second or third generation student.
Yeah, no. And that's something that's, it's funny you mentioned that because that's something that you start realizing, because my son is, you know, will technically be like that. Except, you know, I'm making that transition right now to try to pump the English in him, but he only speaks Spanish. They only speak to him in Spanish. But he's going to start school. So I was like, no, he's going to learn in school the same way I did. Right. I was born here too. And the first language was, you know, Espanol at home, but I think it's important for us to learn our home language. I think a lot of times, you know, cause you always get like, almost people almost get clowned or made fun of or something. Like, how do you not speak it when your parents speak it or whatever language it may be? And like, oh, they never talk to me. It's like, that's sad, man. Because you know, the world's a lot bigger. If you know more than one language, you know, your world's a lot bigger. And so how has being bilingual, how has that benefited your life? Can you tell me anything that's kind of helped you knowing two languages?
Yeah, man, I'll keep it brief as far as in the two spaces that I'm in. Obviously, in the Army, I've had the opportunity to travel across, you know, the country and just meeting folks from, you know, from all over the, you know, the country and the world, and, you know, just being able to communicate with folks that are, you know, more, you know, traditional Spanish speakers, as far as folks from Puerto Rico, from Latin America, but they're in the Army, obviously, you know, still serving as well. So that connection is always very important, because obviously I'm in uniform, but I can speak a second language, so I can connect to more soldiers that, you know, are probably first generation, you know, as well, and might be hesitant to speak Spanish, but knowing that, you know, someone looks like them and speaks the same language, you know, as them, you know, is, I think that it just welcomes them a whole lot more, as opposed to maybe someone that doesn't speak, you know, their native tongue. So that's always been really helpful, man. I think it's just building those bonds just through Spanish, through music, to the food. I think that was very cool that I can connect with, you know, younger soldiers and older soldiers as well. And same in the state as well, you know, just, we get folks, different, you know, inquiries from Spanish speaking, you know, folks that want to get help, you know, for their, you know, their parents that, you know, and they only speak Spanish. And sometimes the mom calls me and, you know, they're just speaking Spanish. Oh, my son's in the service. How can I get help? X, Y, and Z. And I'm able to connect with them, you know, just in Spanish. And so just being that much more marketable in the, and those two spaces, I think it's been really helpful. And it's all thanks to, you know, learning Spanish as my first language, and obviously English later on. But
I think you become way more valuable for your group. How's the Latino Hispanic community in the military? Is it a lot? Is there a lot of people of that descent? Is there like a big group of people like that? Or
yeah, it's funny, man. excuse me. It's funny that you mentioned it. In my unit, which is, you know, my battalion, it's over, excuse me, like around 300 soldiers. And it's a lot of Spanish speaking folks, you know, a lot of raza, Mexicanos, Guatemaltecos, folks from Honduras, and Puerto Rico has a big, you know, part of it as well. A lot of good soldiers from Puerto Rico that I've had the honor to work with, you know, across California, Kentucky, Georgia, just always meeting someone from Puerto Rico, from Mexico. And yeah, man, it's pretty big. It's pretty big. It's always cool, again, just to connect on that level. Like, hey, man, I'm Mexican too, and we can talk, you know, soccer. We can talk, you know, la comida de la casa, little things like that you can connect with other folks, you know, obviously, because they don't have that, you know, relationship with you.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I just think about it, because I know a lot of friends that are obviously, like, you know, Mexican descent, and they're in the military. I just want to know, obviously, the military is probably super diverse. I just want to know how the population was. So why did you make that decision? Like, because obviously, like, people can go, from what I know, people can go serve first.
Yeah.
And then get the GI Bill, right? Use the GI Bill to go to school. How come you chose a different path or a different route?
Yeah, man. I saw that a lot in high school. You know, I did a program there at Grant for 4 years, and a lot of everyone that did that traditional, you know, I'm going to go to boot camp and then I'm going to serve. And then if I go to college, I go to college, right? And I just wanted to do something different. I wanted to obviously go in with a little bit more rank, get paid a little extra more.
Right, yeah, you go in as a second. Oh, yeah, okay.
I go in as a second lieutenant. So I wanted to do that. I just wanted to try it out. You know, obviously, you know, I didn't know no one that did that, you know, that path. So I wanted to do something different that, you know, we can obviously join and be and excel there, but we can also go the officer route and excel there as well. And I just wanted to open doors there as well, because I think there's been one or two from Grant High School that probably went to Sac State or Davis or, you know, some university after me and got commissioned as a second lieutenant and now serving as an officer. So it's just trying to open doors in those regards as well, and just letting folks know that we can, you know, we're capable of leading and also being, you know, being good followers, but we can also be good leaders as well. And I just wanted to do something different, man. I didn't want to be that private. You know, obviously there's great privates. You go through the NCO route. There's great sergeants and whatnot. But I just wanted to be an officer, man. I'm like, you know what, man? I want to be part of the decision-making process. That, of course, I can follow, but I also want to lead. And
there you go.
That's what that. That's what
took me. Yeah, I was just thinking, because I know people, like, they do the other route. They go to the Army or the military to figure it out first.
Yeah.
And then some go to school, like you said, after. They get paid for, you know, whatever, but you went a different way. But then, you still got help. Yeah. It was fine. He still did it. Okay.
Yeah, and I think I had, again, great mentors that wanted me to go to college first and, you know, told me that, hey, you can go to college first. You can do the program, you know, at any college that you want. And after that, you'll commission, you know, as an officer. So that's what we decided to do, man. And it's been great. It was great 4 years in the college ROTC. Very, you know, challenging. But again, we just wanted to do something different.
Man, no, yeah. no, that's cool. I mean, because that's something that never came across my mind to sign up for anything like that. I was like, oh, man, I'm just trying to, you know, I'm not trying to do that. So I respect anyone that does want to give up their time for that. No, that's definitely, you know, it's celebrated, but probably not celebrated enough, you know, for everything that people do, the sacrifice they do with their family and stuff. So, you know, absolutely. You know, so what's your plan, man? Right now, you got your job, you're doing other things. You know, what do you see yourself, man? 5-10 years, like, what are you trying to do, man? Are you trying to continue to do the same thing, or you see yourself in a different role?
I think in the next 5 to 10 years, definitely. If you know, if I'm still capable of being in the service, I'll probably, you know, definitely rank up one or two more times in those 5 years. You know, if everything goes well, you know, on the civilian side, probably with the same State Department, but you know, definitely at a manager position. If that's, you know, a possibility, or with a different agency, I'm open to, you know, joining another sector of the workforce as well, as far as the private, you know, nonprofit, you know, just being, you know, agile and flexible in that regard and that sector as well. And definitely want to go back to school. I want to get a master's as well. So I think I'll make that run in the next couple of years as well. But again, just trying to, you know, thinking longevity, thinking bigger picture, just trying to better myself in all those different regards that, and the different spaces that I'm involved in, will be step one. And of course, you know, just moving step by step, very strategic, and making sure that we're doing the best things for myself and for my family as well.
Yeah. No, that's you're doing it. So, you know, being a bigger brother, because you're not the biggest, you're not the oldest brother, but you still are a big brother to your sisters. You know, I think your younger sister went to Berkeley too, right?
Yeah, she's still in Berkeley right now, man.
Okay, she's still there. Okay. Yeah. So what I'm saying, you open that, like you said, your brother kind of showed you the way, and then now you open the door. But you also not just did it with your family, because, you know, I think we don't realize, but because you did it at Grant, you know, people hear that, right? Like, oh, someone graduated, they went to Berkeley. So then the next year, someone else also see that, hey, we could do it too, you know? So there's obviously been more from Grant. I know there's numerous people that keep going every year. So it's obviously you're part of that chain, and, you know, it's something that you probably didn't see when you were doing it, but you're like, hey, look, you know, you're leaving this trail behind you. Like, hey, you know, you can go from Grant to Berkeley. Like, you can, it can happen. You know, you can do it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's all you can try to do, man, is just try to, you know, pay it forward to some extent, just helping people out. You know, they're reaching out. Obviously you lend a helping hand, but also just by your actions and by your character, just try to be a better person. Of course, people are always watching, so just, you know, letting them know that it's obtainable with the right mindset and with the right attitude.
Yeah. All right, man. So yeah, tell me about the scholarship, man. How did that come about? How did you come up with this idea? Or just give me the details. I'm very interested in how you're giving back to the new generation.
No, yeah, sure. I think just from the very beginning, I knew that I was very fortunate to be given the opportunity to pursue a higher education at a big school and whatnot. So I knew that I just wanted to give back. You know, if God gave me the opportunity to graduate, to get a good job, to get a good career path, I just wanted to put myself in a position to give back to my community. A lot of folks at Grant High School, yourself included, you know, helped me along the way. So I definitely just wanted to give back, man. So I knew that was, you know, a goal of mine from the very beginning. You know, if I was given the opportunity to give back, if I'm in a position to give back financially, you know, I definitely wanted to be a part of the solution. Oftentimes now we hear about, you know, all the different problems and, you know, just point fingers and whatnot, but I just wanted to put, you know, literally, you know, my money where my mouth is at, and just give back to the community in this regard. And just, again, just trying to motivate, you know, younger people to pursue higher education, that, you know, it's attainable, that, not only are we able to excel, you know, in academics, sports, whatever the case may be, but we also want to give back. We can also give back. We don't have to give back, you know, thousands of dollars. It can start, you know, little by little, but just, you know, just really uniting the community in that end, as far as just being part of the solution and not the problem. And I think in today's society, especially with social media, it just, we're pointing fingers, we're, you know, just laying out the problems, we're blaming, you know, fulano and all this and whatnot, but we just, again, just got to be part of the solution and give back.
You have to be part of the solution. I like that, man. That's something that definitely, like, that's why when I started working at Grant High School, I still remember where I was when I got the phone call to go work there.
Yeah.
Coach David called me and said, hey, I need a coach. And he said, I need a varsity assistant coach. And I said, and I remember hearing that, and I said, who's the JV coach? And he said, we don't have a JV. And I said, then I'm going to coach the JV. He's like, I just had a varsity last year. I said, we cannot have a program if we do not have a JV, right? I said, he's like, no, we didn't have one for the last, I don't know, a couple of years or something. I said, we're going to have one.
Yeah.
And so it was just a perfect storm where I got to come in and coach, you know, start a JV team. And then from there, and I remember the first year too, there wasn't that many games because the teams we played didn't have JV teams. So it was very weird. And so as we kept going, it was just a perfect storm where by the time the guys that I had on JV, they were old enough to be on varsity. And then I was the varsity coach. So it was just like this perfect little like transition.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. That was my part of giving back. Like, okay, you know, I didn't grow up in this neighborhood, but I know that it's like I wanted to be somewhere where I'm needed, you know, and I felt needed there. And I felt I felt very supported, right? You know, and you giving back to your school shows a lot because it means you know that people were supporting you when you were there, you know? And so it's something that like everybody kind of wants to feel like they're part of Grant, even though they're not part of it. But, you know, they're like, oh, no, I went there or I worked. And I always throw that I worked there because I can't say I went there. So I'm like, no, I worked there. Yeah. And so to me, it's like this little connection that I have, a little piece of my heart that definitely, you know, people always ask, when are you going back? When is it going to, I said, that chapter's closed. Like to me, that chapter's closed because, the chapter's closed. It is. Life just comes, things are come about. But to me, it's like, you know what? I love the place. I love what we did. But I feel like the guys that I coached, right, including yourself, I think it's your turn, you know, to step in there and be the coach, you know. Yeah, so, you know, going into, you know, coaching the team and being part of that, like I said, the chapter for me is closed as far as like, hey, you know, go back and coach the team. Like, nah, man, that was just it was a time in my life. I was young. I didn't have that many responsibilities like I have now. So, you know, and I have a lot of ex-players ask me, when are you going to come back? When are you going to come back? And I'm like, well, it's your turn now, right? Like, I think it's one of you has to come up and say, okay, you know, I went here. They need coaching or they need help, whatever. It doesn't have to be soccer. It could be anything. So, like, it's my turn. You know, I pass a torch to one of you. So, you know, I nominate Jose Ayon to go down there one day and start helping out.
Absolutely. And I think it's just like, if you're thinking bigger picture, también, it's all interconnected as well, because if you really start doing the research behind it, you know, high school dropout rates are, you know, bigger in the Hispanic and Black community, which is the big, you know, percentage of the student body population at Grant High School. And then if you look at the enrollment, you know, numbers, you know, in college, you know, the Latino community is, you know, progressing in that regard as well, but it's still very much behind compared to the Asian American folks or the Caucasian American folks. So again, it's just, you know, trying to be part of the solution, because what happens if you don't go to college and if you're dropping out, where does that take you? To the prison system. And if you look at the prison system and you look at the numbers, you know, I just looking at a report earlier, you know, from 2017, which is, you know, a couple of years behind, but still 29% is made up from the Hispanic male, 34% is made from the Black, you know, male in the prison system. Again, so just thinking bigger picture and being part of the solution, because, you know how it is here in the northern part of Sacramento, it's rough, man. So if you see, you know, these kids, all they need is the encouragement, you know, the extra push. They're like, hey, man, I know what you're going through. I'm here to help out, you know, through this little scholarship or just, you know, that mentorship or that guidance. Right. And if you have more folks like myself or just other folks that, you know, went before or after me get back, then kids are going to feel that much more supportive to do better things, you know, and stay away from those systems. Right.
Big time. I think it's definitely one of the things that I also, when I was doing it, was like, okay, I don't want to cut any players.
Yeah.
Because I want to be able to help as many as I can. Right.
Yeah, man.
And I do. I also did understand, like, okay, I think I always had about 23, 24, which is a lot for a team, but I knew that it's like as many kids as we can get involved. Yeah. That's how many kids I can keep away from doing other things for at least that soccer season. Right. From there on, you're a man and you can do what you got to do, but I'm going to try my best to keep you on a certain path. So like, you know, I never had a player go from Grant and play in college. Right. I never had anyone, but that wasn't my goal at all. I think a lot of people would criticize me from the outside, and they did. They would say, oh, they have scholarships. I said, but that wasn't the goal of this whole program. Yes, I would love for one of my players to go and play college, right, and on a scholarship. But to me, it was to go to college.
Yeah.
Or it definitely was to finish high school, walk with your class. It was to walk with your class and go to college. Yeah. And so I use, you know, you're one of my stats that I throw out. Oh, I got students that I would say I got players that went to, I didn't say played at. I said went to Cal. Went to UC Santa Barbara. I got Sac State, Davis, right? A bunch of them, right? And to me, those are the stats that I keep. Mm-hmm. You know, I know we keep the stats like championships, and don't worry, I'm never gonna forget the ones I have. But I'm also gonna keep those. Like, hey, I got this. These kids went here, and it's not me. I didn't take them there. I didn't apply for them. I didn't do any of that. But at least the player went to this program, ended up there. You know, and that was one of my goals that I had, and I'm glad that we were able to reach that. Not with as many as we should have. But we got a lot. We did get a lot.
Especially as a smaller program that was barely, you know, coming out, you know, from the ground. I remember, it's, you know, step one is getting them out of high school. You know, obviously the majority of us were first generation también. So like a lot of us didn't know what college was. So getting them in those spaces first, that's step one, which is usually maybe a 5-10 year turnaround, right? And the talent's obviously there because the guys that I play with, man, maybe a dozen, two dozen of them could have easily played college soccer, but the mentality was first, hey man, you need to graduate high school, and then from there, you know, be a responsible, you know, human being, be a good person, of, you know, again, a character of morals, and you know, if you go to college, that's good, but if you join the workforce, that's also good because we're a small program, but you know, maybe in the next 10 years, we're sending one or two, you know, to Chico State, UC Davis, Sac State, because now the program is at that level, right? So I think we can't compare ourselves, you know, soccer standpoint at Grant to the Grant High School, you know, football program. Because if they're not sending, you know, players to college, you know, that they're failing to some extent. Mm-hmm. But for us, it was, let's get these kids, you know.
To it was baby steps, man. And I think like that was those are part of my goals. I was like, hey, I got, you know, keeping, you know, and we forget, man, I didn't realize, you know, because I didn't know. I was naive, too. I didn't realize how many players we had or students that were undocumented as well. You know, so you have undocumented, you have first generation, you have ones that aren't even living with their family members. They're living with, like, someone else. A lot of different situations, tough home situations. So to me, it's like to see these young guys like yourself be, you know, productive citizens doing their thing in this world. And being leaders for the new generation, you know, I'm hoping one of you guys, you know, keep that going wherever field you do take. You know, it doesn't have to be soccer, but whatever you do take, you know, you just keep going with it.
I don't know. Absolutely. I think that was, you know, I feel like, you know, myself and so many others that you coach, man, like those words of wisdom, you know, I think it helped us out a lot because I can remember, you know, playing, you know, under you and you'll say certain things. And, you know, I'll still remember that when I was in college and even right now, you know, so I thought it was always pretty cool to have that career. Like, you know, relationship as the years went by, even, you know, outside of soccer, right? So I thought that was pretty cool that yourself, David, and all the other coaches there were, you know, trying to help us out, you know, be better men, young men, and then, you know, obviously do whatever we needed to do outside of, you know, high school and whatnot.
Heck yeah, man. That was definitely my goal. And, you know, right now I coach at my school.
Yeah.
And it's not the same. It's not the same as far as, like, the need. You know, the need's not there, like, the way this group, you know, Grant needed, you know, the Grant kids needed me, but it's definitely, you know, I still get to coach soccer and I still get to be around the game. So it's fun. And I'm still mentoring young men. So it's still a fun thing to do. You know, but yeah, I mean, like I said, one of my fondest memories before we wrap it up here is I don't, you know, just having like these JV guys, and I would just tell you, Jose, go, we got to do this, and you would just do it. Hey, yeah. We got to do this, and you just take that captain role very serious. And you know, even like wearing, you know, even dressing up for games, I'm like, look at this kid, man, he's ready to roll. So taking it serious and being responsible, yeah, you know, was definitely something that if you tell me Jose Ayon, that always comes to my mind. I'm like, oh, okay, this guy. He took it very serious, and he was down. You know?
Oh yeah, man. We had a really good group, man. So I was definitely, you know, fortunate enough to be in that group as well. And of course, you know, good teams, you know, as far as records and winning games, scoring goals and whatnot. But yeah, man, it was a group of kids, man, at the end of the day, man, led by good coaches, man, people that care. So that's half the battle.
There you go. Yeah, man. So I do appreciate your time. I appreciate you like checking in with me. We're able to talk. We gotta talk more, man. I know we run into each other at soccer games before, like the selección, we run into each other in LA in different places. So, you know, I hope we get to run each other again. And, you know, I do want to get a lot of the guys. I know everyone has their thing, but I was like thinking like one day I wanted to plan like this big old taquiza and just have like all the players that play for me show up. Would be amazing. I know everyone has their, you know, excuses for whatever they're doing, but yeah, maybe you can help me plan that, we'll get some of the guys to get a little reunion one day.
That'll be great, man. Exactly. I'm always running into some of the guys here and there, man. So that'll be pretty cool, man, just to sit down and reminisce and eat, you know, some tacos together.
Yeah, maybe go to a park, do a little, you know, a little 5-on-5 tournament or something, you know, get the guys playing.
Hell yeah, man. That'll be pretty cool. That'll be pretty cool.
So I'm going to count on you to, I don't know, we got to do something, because I think we definitely, like, it was 7 years I was there, so there's probably a good, like, almost 100 players or more. So yeah, it'd be obviously hard for everyone to come, but if we plan it out ahead, we could do this little like reunion game. It'd be pretty fun.
That'd be pretty cool, man. Sign me up.
Okay, man. So I appreciate your time. I'm rooting for you from here. Keep doing what you're doing, working hard. Like I said, keep being that leader that you were born to be. And, you know, we'll check in soon, man.
All right. Sounds good. Appreciate it, brother.
All right. Thank you, man. Another copy.
All right. Thanks, out.
We'll be right back.